This is Retro Sports Radio. Visit RetroSeasons.com for more sports history.
This is Joe Adcock. In a few moments, I'll tell you about my greatest sports thrill.
This is Harry Wismer. What you're about to hear is a transcribed story of one of baseball's great power hitters. In a sports event, our special guest, Joe Adcock, considers his greatest sports thrill. And Joe himself is here to tell us all about it. But first, here is Bill Reddick with a message of interest from your United States Air Force.
Experience is the great teacher in sports, and in many other fields, too. Right now, if you have service experience gained in any of the armed forces, opportunity is knocking on your front door. The U.S. Air Force needs skilled veterans in many technical categories, and they offer you valuable incentives and guarantees. If your skill can fit a current Air Force shortage, you'll receive a grade based on your ability and military background. If you do not have such a skill, you may qualify for the finest of technical training, putting you out front in this jet age. An Air Force career means job security, a guaranteed annual wage, big reenlistment bonuses, regular pay increases, plus tax-free quarters, rations, clothing, and survivor benefits. Your local Air Force recruiter has a new personalized prior service booklet that gives you all the facts. Call or visit him right away. Find out why today and tomorrow you're better off in the U.S. Air Force. Now back to Harry Wismer.
Charlie Grimm's last official act before resigning as manager of the Milwaukee Braves, June the 16th, 1956, was to name Joe Adcock as the first baseman for the doubleheader with the Dodgers the following day. Adcock had been warming the bench most of the time up to then. Ebbets Field had always been his favorite park. What Adcock did in that doubleheader will never be forgotten, either by Fred Haney, Charlie's successor, or the capacity crowd at Ebbets Field. The big guy hit three home runs plus a single in seven times at bat. His second homer in the opener was the first ever to clear the double-deck roof in left field at Ebbets Field. The roof is 83 feet high and 351 feet away from home plate, so it seems safe to assume Adcock's drive went 550 feet. Joe Adcock's tremendous Ebbets Field home run gave him the dual distinction unapproached by any other player. In addition to being the only player ever to hit a ball over the double-decked left-field bleachers at Ebbets Field, Adcock is the only one ever to slam a ball into the center-field bleachers at the Polo Grounds in a regular league game. He accomplished that feat on April 29, 1953. Joe Adcock came to the majors back in 1950. A big, slow-moving, mild-mannered southern gentleman, he was far from being the most graceful-looking man on the field. Since joining the Braves in 1953, the handsome first baseman's fielding improvement has been something to see. In 1953, he committed 13 errors. In 1954 and 55, his combined total was only 14. His hitting, except for his offseason in 55, has picked up even more impressively. Whereas he used to hit an occasional long one, such as the record breaker at the Polo Grounds, he now makes a habit of hitting those long balls. Against the Dodgers in 1954, in a four-game series at Ebbets Field, Joe Adcock staged an awesome one-man display of hitting power, the likes of which has never been seen in Brooklyn before or since. In the first game of that series, Joe hit a single, double, and home run. The next day, he really struck his stride. He went to the plate five times, slamming out four home runs and a double. His 18 total bases in a single game set a new major league record. Only four other players since 1900 hit four homers in one game. The list includes Lou Gehrig, Chuck Kline, Pat Seary, and Gil Hodges. None of them, however, added a fifth extra base hit as Joe Adcock did. And none of them hit their homers off four different pitchers as Adcock did. It was the first time in the history of the National League that any player had socked five extra base hits in one game. Joe Adcock's lusty hitting is taken for granted now, but at first base he also has comported himself like a big leaguer. That's a remarkable thing in view of the fact he didn't play his first game of baseball until he entered Louisiana State University in 1944. Working on his father's farm in Coushatta, Louisiana, there was no time for baseball. In high school at Coushatta, they had a basketball team, and Joe went out for it. He was so good that he won a basketball scholarship to LSU and in his freshman year was the varsity center. Up to that time, Adcock had never played a real game of baseball, worn a pair of spikes, or even had a glove. The basketball coach, Red Swanson, also handled the baseball team. In the spring of Joe's freshman year, Swanson asked him if he wanted to play baseball. "No," replied Adcock, "I don't know how." Swanson told him to come out anyway. LSU, with Adcock on first, won the Southeastern Conference title in 1946, Joe's senior year. The Cincinnati Redlegs signed him and sent him to Columbia in the South Atlantic League, where he started his professional baseball apprenticeship. He developed as a first baseman, and in 1950, the Reds brought him up. With Ted Kluszewski established as the regular first baseman, Joe had no chance at first, so manager Luke Sewell switched him to the outfield. Adcock realized he'd never make the grade in the pasture, so after Rogers Hornsby succeeded Sewell, Adcock asked to be traded if he couldn't play first base. "Why don't you talk to general manager Gabe Paul about it?" Hornsby replied. Adcock did. Gabe agreed with Adcock's premise and told him if he could make a deal for him that would benefit the Reds, he would do so. The Braves then in Boston expressed an interest in getting the first baseman. The Reds wanted an infielder in return, and the Braves didn't have one to suit Paul. Lou Perini and John Quinn, the Braves president and general manager, contacted every club in the league. Then they set in motion a trade that was as complex as any in recent years. They found out that the Dodgers were willing to let infielder Rocky Bridges go if they could get a pitcher in return. Then the Braves discovered the Phillies were willing to trade for Earl Torgerson. So they sent Torgerson to Philadelphia for pitcher Russ Meyer. Forthwith, they shipped Meyer to Brooklyn for Bridges. And Bridges moved right on to Cincinnati for Adcock. Everybody was happy, especially the Braves. But the happiest of them all was Joe Adcock. He was finally going to play first base. It was on Milwaukee's first trip to the East in the 1953 season that Joe Adcock slammed his historic homer into the center field bleachers at the Polo Grounds. They've been playing ball at the Polo Grounds as it is presently laid out for more than three decades. Since 1923, the year the present bleachers were erected, giving the park the deepest center field point in baseball, a whopping 483 feet. In those 30 years, the great hitters of the National League had their chance to reach the bleachers, which jut out around the flagpole at the most distant center field point. Not one of them, not Bill Terry, nor Hank Lieber, nor Hack Wilson, nor Mel Ott, nor Johnny Mize, nor Stan Musial, ever reached the bleachers. But in 1953, Joe Adcock did. He was hitting against Jim Hearn. The count was two balls and one strike when Jim came in with a high fastball, which Joe Adcock caught on the meat part of his bat. The ball started to rise, and Bobby Thompson, then with New York in center field, drifted back. He went all the way to the four-foot wall in front of the open stand, to the left of the clubhouse exit stairs. Then he watched the ball sail over his head, clear the wall and the five-foot wire fence atop the wall, and with something to spare, land 10 rows up in the stands. Press box guesses measured the drive anywhere from 475 to 500 feet. Joe Adcock laughs off his record distance blow, saying he is really not that kind of a hitter. But around Milwaukee, they disagree with him. They think Joe Adcock is one of the top stars of the National League. Now, before you meet our special guest, Joe Adcock in person, in an interview from Milwaukee County Stadium, and hear about his greatest sports thrill, here is a message of interest to all young men who want to go places faster.
Everybody has his own favorite players in the world of sport. And while we're on the subject of favorites, there's a group of young men in blue uniforms who are always mighty popular wherever they go. Yes, the world looks up to young Americans who serve on our first defense team, the United States Air Force. Through valuable Air Force training, airmen acquire skills that prepare them not only for key jobs in this very important service, but also for a rewarding personal future. With more than 400 specialties available, a qualified airman is sure to pick a field in which he can move ahead fast. That's why so many forward-looking high school graduates today are enlisting in the all-volunteer U.S. Air Force. The recruiter in your community will discuss Air Force opportunities with you without obligation. So call or visit him soon, and be sure to ask for the free booklet, Pocket Guide to Air Force Opportunities. And now, back to Harry Wismer.
Joe Adcock, what was your greatest sports thrill?
To be honest with you, that's a hard question because I've had many thrills in baseball, but July the 31st, 1954, when I hit the four home runs and a double at Ebbets Field, I believe tops all of my sports thrills.
Joe, how did you get started as a ball player?
Well, Harry, I come from a very small town, Coushatta, Louisiana. In 1944, when I finished high school, the population of my hometown was not over 500 people, and there were only five boys in my graduating class. Therefore, we did not have any baseball. But we did have a real good basketball team, and all five of the boys were given scholarships at Louisiana State University, basketball scholarships, that is. And that's where I became interested in baseball and first got my start in baseball.
Joe, you've been hit by pitch balls a great deal for a power hitter. How do you account for that?
Well, Harry, I might add that being a big fellow like I am, I might not be as agile and I might not move as quick as another fellow. I might stand a little too close to that plate. I know I stand in a spread stance, a wide stance, that is. And I'd say that my reflex is not quite as good maybe as the other fellow.
Joe, is there any particular reason for your being able to hit Brooklyn Dodger pitching so well, so consistently?
Well, that's another good question, too, because they have real good pitching in my books now. Why I hit them so well, I really don't know. But at Ebbets Field, it's a real small ballpark, and the ball seems to carry real well. And, in other words, the long fly ball there is a home run or up against the fence somewhere, where the long fly ball in Milwaukee and the Polo Grounds, St. Louis, especially in center field, is a big out. So, therefore, when you go in there and you know you hit the ball real good, well, you have a chance of that ball bouncing off the wall or going into the seats.
You've played both first base and the outfield. Do you personally have a preference?
Yes, I do. I came into the major leagues as a first baseman, playing 3 years as first base in the minor leagues. When I came to Cincinnati in 1950, they had a big guy there by the name of Ted Kluszewski, who I'm sure you know real well, and is one of the better first basemen, better ball players in the National League. And there wasn't room for both of us to play first base at the same time, so they made an outfielder out of me, and I played the outfield there 3 years, but still my heart was at first base. You seem to be in the ball game more at first base than you are in the outfield, and a lot of action around there, which I like, and really you've got something to look forward to. In other words, you handle the ball most of the time on all the putouts you do, and you're right in the ball game. It gives you something to really play for. It keeps you on your toes. And outfield, you know, you might stay out there the whole ball game. When you got a real good pitcher like we did have there, Yul Blackwell, I know he pitched one ball game one day, and I only handled one chance all the ball game. So you're not in the ball game at all. First base, you're right in the middle of the ball game.
Joe, you hold many long ball hitting records and have also tied some home run marks. Is there one record you share in baseball that you'd like to forget?
Harry, as you know, everyone's got a few records that they'd like to forget in this game, and it's no question in my mind that I do have one. That's hitting into three double plays at Pittsburgh one night. Sure, I'd like to forget that.
Joe, is there one thing you'd like to accomplish in baseball before you retire?
Yes, it is. I'm sure that every ball player that plays in the major leagues would like to play in one World Series. I've never played in one yet, and that's my ambition in baseball at the present time.
Thank you very much, Joe Adcock, one of baseball's outstanding players.
Greatest sports thrills with top personalities in the world of sports is narrated by Harry Wismer, directed by Gene Kirby, written by Arthur Suskin Jr., and presented by the United States Air Force in cooperation with this station. This is Bill Reddick speaking. The preceding was transcribed.